study we're going to deal with today is entitled Stairway to Heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vision that you gave Jacob in the wilderness, of the ladder that reached all the way from earth to heaven. We know you are that ladder. You came down. You made a bridge between this great chasm. We thank you that you're willing to make us whole in soul, in mind, and body. Please study with us now, because we need you. In Christ's powerful name, amen.
The Apostle Paul mentions a stairway to heaven in his letters. What are the steps on it?
God is close to us when we are surrounded by trouble, loneliness, and darkness. When Jacob was running away from his brother Esau, he met God in the wilderness. God revealed himself to Jacob in a dream. In it, Jacob saw a ladder reaching to heaven. At the top of the stairway stood God. The ladder connecting heaven with earth symbolized Jesus Christ, who alone connects fallen mankind with the throne of God. Through victory in Jesus Christ, Jacob became Israel, the overcomer. A deceiver was turned into a victor. So here are the steps: call, conversion, justification, sanctification, glorification. Every soul must ascend the stairway. There are no shortcuts. Every step symbolizes a different stage of spiritual development and growth. God helps man through this experience. It requires the full trust and obedience of man. The task is enormous, since the rebellious, morally ruined man must be recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. He must be made into a new creation, morally clean, free from a sinful nature, and made fit for the holy presence of God and the angels.
What kind of people does God call to heaven?
Everyone is called, Mrs. Ferraro. We are all invited to enter heaven. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2, verse 4.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?
All men. And another passage refers to the same thought. It's 2 Peter 3, 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God has not predestined some persons to be saved and some to be lost, no. But he did predestinate the conditions under which a sinner is to be saved. All who accept his conditions will be saved. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, 4 and 5.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Although Jesus Christ died for all humanity, only those who individually receive him and his teachings will be saved. Matthew 22:14. Matthew 22:14.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Yes, the Lord said in Matthew 9:13, I am come to call sinners to repentance. And he also said in Luke 9:61 and 62, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. God is calling every man and woman, but in different ways. Through the reading of the Holy Scripture, through his providence, through wonderful experiences, through tragic experiences, through the voice of conscience, etc. In these and other ways, the Holy Spirit speaks, woos, appeals to us. It is fatal to resist this call, but it is a blessing to follow it. Revelation 19:9. Would you please read that? 19:9.
And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God.
And Matthew 22:2-4.
The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.
8:9.
Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
And in Luke 14, and there 22-24.
And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.
Right. What happens to those who reject the call of God? The answer is given in Proverbs 1:24-28.
Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh unto you.
What is the result of answering it? What is the result of answering God's call? Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 27-29.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Everyone who loves truth listens to the voice of Jesus.
Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
The chosen of God are those who voluntarily follow him. That is going back to Proverbs. And there, Proverbs 8:17. 8:17.
I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
And 2 Peter 1:10.
Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Would you kindly explain to me what the Bible means by conversion and new birth?
Certainly, Mrs. Ferraro. Let's speak about conversion. Jesus Christ calls sinners to repentance. Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. Would you please read?
And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel."
Conversion implies a submission to a drastic change of life by the Holy Spirit. It happens when a person who has been living independently of God turns to Him and walks with Him. The decision to abandon sin and to seek God and His forgiveness is for man to make. Matthew 16:24.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Conversion and new birth are the two sides of one and the same experience. Conversion is man's side, while the new birth is God's side. In the Old Testament, people were also called to repentance. Conversion was as essential to salvation as in the New Testament. For instance, let's read about of the conversion of a nation. And there we need to turn to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here we are.
"If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land."
Yes, and we may also read about conversion of an individual in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18:23.
"Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live?"
31:32.
"Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye."
I think we should read the beautiful prayer of repentance of King David. That we find in Psalm 51. And there, 11, 12, and 17.
"Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise."
The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples called people to repentance. That we find in the book of Acts. Acts 17, and there, 30.
"And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent."
And Luke chapter 13, 4 and 5.
"Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish."
Or take the publican. He asked for mercy. That's Luke 18:11-14.
"The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Take Zacchaeus, the materialist. He experienced a complete change in his life. Please turn to Luke 19, the next chapter. Luke 19, 5 to 10.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forsomuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
The prodigal son. Take him. He resolved to ask his father for forgiveness. Please turn to Luke 15, 17 to 19.
And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Conversion does not simply involve good resolutions, but requires their faithful execution. Sin abounds in and around us, but the grace of God is infinitely greater than sin. Therefore, be of good courage and bring forth good fruit. Please turn to Matthew 3, 8 and 10.
Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Now let's talk about the new birth. It is the Holy Spirit who woos sinners to Christ. When after hearing the message of salvation, the message of the cross, the sinner draws close to the cross of Jesus Christ, asking forgiveness for his sins, the Holy Spirit performs a miracle in this person. He recreates him, which is a powerful and drastic change, such as when a substance is changed into another through transmutation. Would you please turn to John 3, 5 and 7?
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again.
Yes. At that moment, he receives the Spirit of Christ as a gift. John 1, 12 and 13.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
King David's greatest desire was to receive this gift. Psalm 51. Here we are. Psalm 51, 2, and then 10 to 12.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
10 to 12? Great. Now such a man becomes a new creation. The old Adamic nature has been subdued by the Holy Spirit, and the mind, heart, and body of that person are now in control of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He has indeed become a new man, as if he had been born a second time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Justification is a big word. What does it mean to me personally?
Well, if a man has been converted at the age of 30, let us say, Jesus Christ forgives him every sin committed in the past. Now, sin is transgression of the moral law, and its penalty is second death. Now, imagine a vagabond knocking at your door asking for food and help. You have compassion on him and invite him into your home. Of course, first you ask him to take a bath and shave before he can sit with your family at the table. Now, while he's bathing, you take away his dirty rags and discard them. After a while, the vagabond is shaved and clean, but he still cannot enter your company. He needs a new set of clothing. You have to furnish that for him. And now a well-dressed, clean man steps into your dining room. The sinner must go through the same experience before he can enter heaven and live with the angels. We must be cleansed from our sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But sinlessness is not enough. We must also take his righteousness, which is his character, to be blameless and just. Let's turn to Revelation 16:15. 16:15.
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Yes, this refers to the righteousness of Christ, which covers our spiritual nakedness, our soul nakedness. Or, let us turn to Zechariah in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah 3:4.
And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
Yes, Jesus Christ clothes you with his righteousness. This represents his sinless life, his just character. He imputes his own faultless life to the sinner. By this we are justified. Now we can stand before the throne of God as though we had never sinned. Ephesians 4:22-24. Here we are, Ephesians 4:22-24.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
As a result, the sinner is reconciled to God and has peace in his soul. Romans 5:1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Justification is a gift. I would say the greatest gift to the human race by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Would you turn to Romans 8:33-34, please?
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
The imputed righteousness received from Christ involves freedom from our past sins. It is the beginning of a new life in Christ.
I understand that the next step on the stairway to heaven is sanctification. Please tell me how I can be sanctified. How does it apply to me?
Although the sinner has been forgiven and has received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he continues to live in his old body. Although his old Adamic nature has died, it has the ability of becoming alive again at any time, in a split second. As a matter of fact, it will become alive again unless we avail ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit given to us at the time of our conversion. Jesus Christ makes available to us at the time of conversion a power infinitely greater than that of Satan to prevent us from falling into our former sins and reverting to our old life. Would you please turn to Romans 8:37?
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
If we abide in Jesus Christ and trust in him, he will give us the victory over all temptations and all sinful desires. And there we need to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:57.
But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We must be willing to die daily to our old nature, our ego, in order to enable him to give us the victory. Romans 6:2.
God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
And 1 Corinthians 15:31.
I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily.
I die daily. You see, not only the death, the symbolic death at the time of baptism is necessary. I die daily. Through the Holy Spirit, of course. Only if we deny ourselves daily can the Holy Spirit take us in complete possession. Only then are we one unit with Jesus Christ. This is the meaning of Christ's word, abide in me and I in you. Beautiful verse. I want you to read that. John 15:4. John 15:4-16.
Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
And then we should read Romans also. Romans 6:11.
Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Chapter 8:9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
And then we need to turn to the epistle of John, and that is 1 John 4:12.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
God the Holy Spirit is actually living in our frame. Galatians 2:20.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
The converted and justified sinner can still fall into sin, but it is usually done unintentionally. He immediately repents again and asks Christ for forgiveness. For this we need to turn to Proverbs 24:16. Proverbs.
For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Justification is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, while sanctification is his imparted righteousness. The Lord lives and works in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ imparts to us gradually his own nature. Jesus Christ paid the price of redemption for all mankind on the cross. But only those receive eternal life who individually have received Jesus Christ and are led by the Holy Spirit. Based on your faith and obedience to the Holy Spirit, he works out in you your personal salvation. He applies Christ's atonement to your life. Romans 8. 1 and 4.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
The work of the Holy Spirit in you is a process lasting a lifetime. It is called sanctification. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
And 1 Peter 1, 4 to 6.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. After justification and after sanctification must come glorification.
All right.
When will the man of God be glorified, and with what result?
Glorification means release from the punishment of sin, which is second death, and entrance into the presence of God. At this point, the redeemed person receives a new and immortal body, resembling the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This event will occur at Christ's second coming. Philippians 3:20 and 21. Philippians 3:20 and 21.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
And 1 John 3:2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
This glorious experience is described in 1 Corinthians 15:40. 1 Corinthians 15:40 and 44.
There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
48 to 53.
As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
And Revelation 21:4-5. 21:4-5.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
This covers the five steps of the stairway to heaven, which are told in the beginning of a call, conversion, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now, every individual's conversion and development is different, varying in type, in length, and intensity in accordance with his disposition and nature as the providence of God sees fit. Jacob, for example, had to go through a long, drawn-out struggle before he was fully converted. Paul, on the other hand, experienced a sudden conversion. The criminal dying on the cross beside Jesus Christ went through this amazing experience in a few hours. The story of Peter shows us that a Christian can fall into great sin and recover with the help of Jesus Christ. So I suggest, make him your guide. As we study the different steps from call to glorification, we are fascinated, aren't we, Mrs. Ferraro, what God has done in his love for us. Let us thank him by bowing down humbly before him. Our Heavenly Father, we are spellbound by seeing what you have done, the extent to which you have gone to save us. We both ask now that you hold on to us because we are too weak to hold on to you. Robe us with that white garment of your justification. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us a divine nature through sanctification. Then come and redeem our bodies, Lord. We have weak, sickish bodies, contaminated bodies. Oh, give us the new body at your return. We can hardly wait for that redemption. And then purge and cleanse this earth, Lord, and give us a new earth. Thank you for this tremendous program that you have for the human race. We want to cooperate with you 100%. Thank you for revealing it to us today again. In Christ's precious name, amen.